Yeah, I guess my final thought is just, live fully. Make the best choices you can and know that you always have choices. It might not seem like it, but there's always a different option. If nothing else, you can change the way you're thinking about something. That's the key to stress reduction. That's the key to health, is changing your perception, changing how you're thinking about it.
That was Kathy Groover, and this is the All Things Risk Podcast. Welcome and welcome back to the All Things Risk Podcast. My name is Ben Cattaneo. I'm your host. This is my show. Around here, we do risk, resilience, and uncertainty across all walks of life. Today, we have a bit of a shorter episode. At least the conversation is a little bit shorter than normal because my guest had a limited period of time on which to appear, but I really wanted to have her on the show. And I also wanted to address something that's been on my mind. And what I've done is I've put that in the outro. So the outro is a little bit longer this week. And I thought that we could get on with my guest and leave my other thoughts for later. We tend to have three types of conversations here at the All Things Risk Podcast. They're all long form. Even this one that's a little bit shorter, I still consider it long form. The first is big picture type of conversations where we talk about the economy, transhumanism, and this is also the subject of what I wanted to address in my outro. So it relates to some of the big picture conversations that I've had. The second are conversations about risk takers or with risk takers, entrepreneurs, adventurers, athletes, people like this. And the third is all about resilience. So taking care of mind and body. And today's episode is very much in that third bucket. My guest is Kathy Groover. Kathy is a health expert and speaker. She's a TV host, an author, and she started her health journey looking at alternative medicine. We'll get into that in a moment. She focuses very much on the mind-body connection and alternative health. So one of her books is called Alternative Medicine Cabinet, and it's also the title of a TV show that she hosts. Kathy is someone who can bridge the gap between Western medicine and some of these alternative medicine practices with a very balanced view, I would say. There's a plethora of confusing facts, loads of snake oil peddlers out there. And Kathy, I think, is someone that can make sense of this world. And we talk about all of that. We talk about, I think, a very balanced view about alternative medicine that Kathy has. She views it very much as a complement to Western medicine. We talk about health and what health is, the core elements of health and how that relates to personal resilience. We talk about stress as well. Kathy is an expert on how to manage stress and how to make changes that stick, a topic that has come up more than once on the show. Kathy has a great perspective on it. And we also get into how to spot, I guess, genuine alternative medicine practices versus what you might call woo-woo or simply bullshit. There's a lot of BS out there in this space, and it can be very confusing. Kathy has a very useful take on all of this that I think you'll find useful. We get into loads more. Kathy is very engaging, and it's a very good conversation. I think you'll enjoy it. Folks, I am pleased to present Kathy Groover. Enjoy. Kathy, welcome to the All Things Risk Podcast. It's a pleasure to have you on. This is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to this.
Oh, thanks. I'm so excited.
So I usually start off by asking people what they do, but I just looking at your profile, when you combine acting and then massage therapy and then what you're doing now, it does look a little bit random. And this is a show about randomness, but I know that it's not random. There's an arc there, and it would be great if you maybe walked us through it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it does seem kind of random. And I actually, you're like my second or third show today. And the woman this morning, I said, you know, I just followed the breadcrumbs. I just said yes to what was being presented to me. And this is where I am now. I started out as an actor. I got on stage in fifth grade, swore I would never step off. Actually, was a theater major in college, moved everything I owned across country and pursued a career in Hollywood for about 10 years. And that was half my journey. The other half happened simultaneously, which is I always had an interest in choices. I always had an interest in alternative medicine, alternative philosophies, alternative, you know, anything that was aside from the norm that people weren't talking about. If they were whispering about it in a corner, I was the one that wanted to know. And so I started doing massage when I was in college. It was completely accidental. I didn't plan on doing it. But it was a phenomenal experience. And so when I moved to California, I thought, oh my God, what a perfect sideline, you know, when I'm not starring in major motion pictures, which didn't happen, I could be doing massage and making extra money or any money. And so it was this parallel that ran. And when I moved to Santa Barbara, I had given up acting and I had given up massage. I moved here for a production job of all things, which fell through in about 6 weeks. And I was devastated and I didn't know what I was going to do with myself. And I found myself aching to get my hands on people again. And so I studied a little more massage, and that launched this aspect of it, which is massage and hypnotherapy and Reiki and herbs and homeopathics. And then I started writing, and then I started doing live talks and the radio and TV, which goes back to all the acting experience. So it's all come full circle. It was this very full education that led me to exactly where I am now. And I see the purpose, and I see the pattern of what set me up to have just an amazing career now. And I get to help so many people, which really is the bottom line of why I do this. So I do massage all day long, and then I write and I lecture, travel around the world teaching people about stress and nutrition and mind-body medicine. And so it's seemingly random, but it had a perfectly lovely pattern to
Very
it.
Cool. Very cool. We'll go into some of these areas in a moment. And I'm also keen to explore two sides of what you just talked about, you know, alternative medicine, massage, hypnotherapy, all of these things, which has a use in, you know, modern society and are increasingly popular. But similarly, there's, I did want to explore, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on, but the kind of, how to kind of distinguish, I suppose, woo-woo from something that might be very helpful. But let's park that for a moment and just go to the yin of that yang and say, just talk a little bit about maybe some of the approaches or some of the failings that people have with traditional sort of Western medicine, and why you think that people are exploring these aspects of, you know, alternative therapies and, you know, this kind of thing. Where do you see that coming from?
The beautiful. You know, there's a frustration, and I'm so glad we have Western medicine. I really am. I'm glad that my dad can inject his insulin and that I was able to have my thyroid removed. And now there's a pill I can take every day to make sure I have enough thyroid. And if you have a gunshot wound or you're having a stroke, please don't come to me for an herb. Please go straight to the doctor. But having said that, the way it is now structured, it is, it's so regulated and it's so almost sort of isolationist. You know, everybody is so specialized. You know, you've got your toe guy and you've got your ankle guy and you've got your knee guy, which on one hand, or leg, is really great. But on the other hand, it's so specialized that oftentimes they don't know what the other is doing, which I think gets a little dangerous. And we've become to rely so heavily on here's your surgery, here's your pill, go back and deal with it. And for a lot of that, we're dealing with the side effects and not actually getting to the root of the problem. And, you know, with things like cancer, though, we're starting to see more breakthroughs in things like immunotherapies and lasers and heating it and icing it and, you know, all these things. We're still at the basic cut it out chemo radiation. And this is where it's great to add in things like alternative medicine, because you don't have to completely get rid of your Western medicine. I love to see them used in concert. So, you know, like I'm about to go for surgery and my surgeon's doing my surgery and I'm sure they'll give me anesthesia and I'm sure they'll give me pain meds. But in the midst of that, I'm doing homeopathics and I'm having a Reiki practitioner come and I'm doing hyperbaric chamber and I'm having a hypnosis session to make sure I heal quicker. And I'm doing my meditation and my visualization. So to me, use both, use everything we have.
Yeah, I think one of the shortcomings I think of, I guess, Western medicine and also where we are. I live in the UK, but we have similar problems here as, you know, that exist in the US or Canada where I grew up. And, you know, there's a health epidemic, right? There, people are getting fatter. And a lot of the approaches are, you know, they don't really focus on prevention as much as, they ought to, and sort of functional medicine and things like this. So, you know, all of that good stuff, you know, I think where it sort of starts, health, you know, exercise, nutrition, sleep, all of that good stuff. We overlook it. So we get into until it's too late and we have to have surgery.
Yeah. Well, and to that point, it's a very good point. You know, we don't emphasize prevention, even though in the States with Obamacare, one of the things they emphasized was preventative care and exercising and diet and nutrition. But you look at what the government does in the midst of that, and, you know, the most highly subsidized foods are not the ones that are actually giving us nutrition. They're the ones going into GMOs and high fructose corn syrup and packaged and processed foods. Right. So we say we want people to be healthy, but we're charging, you know, 30 cents for a soda and $3 for broccoli. So we're telling people to be healthier, but we're not giving them the resources to do that. And, you know, all those things that used to kill us, infections and those are wiped out. We don't have that problem anymore. Now they're diseases of lifestyle. And that means we have to change. That means we can't blame that mosquito. We can't blame that flu. We can't blame that outside external thing. It's the fact that we've been sitting on the couch with the chips and the soda. It's now something we have to change. And that's really hard to do. I totally get that, you know, but if we want to be healthier, we as the individual, and I can't make anybody do it, much to my dismay, you have to make that choice. And and I think it's tough. It's so much easier to take a pill. And then that becomes your new normal. You know, it's the, hey, you're pre-diabetic, you better watch it. Yeah, okay, whatever. And then they go back, yeah, you're still pre-diabetic, here's your pill. And then the pill becomes normal. But then the pill doesn't work anymore, and then you have to inject insulin. And then that becomes the new normal. At what point do you hit that break where you go, oh, crap, I better make a change? And sometimes it's too late.
Yeah, and we're talking about, you know, things being too late, and, you know, this is a show about risk and uncertainty and but also resilience, and I want to talk about resilience because a lot of this stuff, you know, people ask me sometimes, well, why do you sometimes talk about this sort of stuff on your show? And and it's because it's about resilience. We have, you know, uncertainty, and you don't know what life is going to throw at you, but at least you can take care of yourself and your body and your mental state, and that allows you to power through or deal with whatever life throws at you. And I think there are a number of aspects of resilience that, you know, that you very much specialize in. Maybe we could talk a little bit about some of them. And I know you had a book about stress. So could we talk a little bit about what stress is and how people fail and should perhaps be dealing with stress more effectively?
Yeah, absolutely. Stress is, you know, by definition, it is a perception that demands are going to exceed our resources, or it's a threat, real or imagined. And I think that concept of perception and imagined, that's really the key, because what any of this stress triggers is a fight or flight response. And when we're facing a real true threat, when we're running through the jungle and something jumps out to kill us, that's a real threat. And it needs that fight or flight response. Unless you're a first responder or you're on the front lines of a battlefield, you're not actually facing those threats, I hope. If a car is hurtling at you on the sidewalk, please do run. Yes. But for the most part, our stress is this emotional, spiritual, external stress. It's the traffic, it's the boss, it's the government, it's the IRS, it's the kid is flunking, you know, gym class, it's the mother-in-law has to move in because she's got Alzheimer's. And we still mount that very strong chemical fight or flight response, but the problem is we can't fight or flight. So it builds up, it depletes our immune system, it's bad for our digestion, our cognitive function, our memory, our sexual function, you know, all these things that if we're running from a bear, sure, we don't need right then, but then the bear goes away and everything returns to normal. The problem with our response now is it doesn't stop.
Yes.
It's this never ceasing low grade, sometimes high grade stress. And so our body doesn't have a chance to have that denouement and that finale and then get out of that stress response. And that's horribly bad for us.
Yes.
So I'm I'm glad we have that biological process. It's allowed us to survive to now, but we don't need it anymore. Mm. And we're still getting it, and it's killing us. So so much of our stress is a perception. Mm. It's the, oh no, the boss said he wants to see me on Monday. And suddenly you spend your entire weekend building up the scenario and visualizing what it's going to look like. And you know what you're going to say to him. Mm-hmm. And then you work yourself into the state. And he simply wants to say, hey, can you organize the barbecue this year?
Mm.
And you've just put yourself through 3 days of hell for nothing. Or he does say you're fired. Did your 3 days of hell change that?
Mm.
If anything, it's going to make you more mad, and then they're going to have to call security rather than you just leaving on your own.
Right,
you know, so to me, it's those thoughts that we have. It's those repetitive visions that we have going on in our brains. That's so much of what the problem is.
I've talked to previous guests about this, and you know, it's my own experience. The way our brains work, that hasn't kept up with the changes that we have in our societies with technology and so on. You know, you get a crappy email or something at work, and all of a sudden, you know, your mind goes to war, right?
With
that person. And it's a primitive response for a very modern, type of problem and environment in which we live.
Yeah. And because it's a perception, different people perceive things differently. And with the email thing, you know, if you email me something and I say, yeah, that's fine. How do you read it that day? Do you read it of, okay, yeah, that's fine? Or do you read it, yeah, that's fine?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We tend to put our own intonation. I can't remember, it was a Modern Family episode or something where everyone's like, why do people keep saying it that way? You know, it was an email and everybody kept putting this sexy voice on Phil's email. And he's like, why do you keep adding that? That's not what I meant.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because so how our day is going is going to color how we read someone's facial expression. Mm. If I'm doing a massage on someone and they're normally really chatty and today they're really quiet, do I go to, oh God, am I not doing a good job? Mm. Are they mad at me? Did I say something? Did I offend them last time? Are they not going to come back? I can create all these stories in my mind, or I can say, hey, you seem really quiet today. Anything going on? Oh, I'm just so tired. I was up late last night because the dog got sick.
Mm.
Beautiful. I just solved the problem. Rather than creating these stories and stressing myself out and taking things personally, which gets us in trouble every time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. What are some of the, I guess, the telltale signs that we're overstressed or just, you know, at the edge and maybe we should take a step back and do something about it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got those physical signs, you know, the headaches, the jaw tension, your shoulders are up around your ears, you're not sleeping, any illness or pain or anything that you do have is going to be magnified. So if you've got something like an autoimmune condition, or if you're prone to muscle pain or arthritis, it's going to get worse if you're stressed. Gum chewing, smoking, of course, smoking, eating, drinking, indulging in drugs, all that stuff. Extra risk taking, you know, that's kind of that part of you that's like, oh, screw it, I'm going to pull that into traffic. You know,
right.
We take less healthy risks. We take more dangerous risks because we just go,
and
we just do it.
Right. So you're not thinking very clearly. Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You can't reason kind of goes away. Your memory starts to fail. You're not sleeping. Sighing is a big one. You know, there's so much, and everybody exhibits that differently. But if you know what your signs of stress are, then you can, because I recommend we do a daily inventory of just, you know, even if it's 2 minutes in the shower of how am I feeling, how am I thinking, how's my spirit today, what's my body look like, how's my body feel. You know, we need to know that, or nobody on any side of the fence with the medicine can help us.
Mm-hmm.
So see how you're feeling and say, God, you know, I have had this weird jaw tension and I wonder if I'm stressed. You'll figure it out, or ask the people around you because they noticed before you did.
Yeah, yes. And I guess in terms of, I mean, sometimes we have to get out of our heads a little bit. And for me, I find running is really good. And, you know, there are lots of practices that people do that. And I guess where I want to go with this is sort of the mind body piece, the mind body connection, where, you know, I'm running and all of a sudden a few interesting thoughts will pop in my head, or, oh, I wonder why, you know, I'm now worried about this thing. And, oh, yeah, well, that's because, you know, I had this thing I haven't resolved from a few weeks ago or whatever. And it's really interesting how the mind body works. Or you go for a walk and, you know, you're stuck on something you're writing, you go for a walk and all of a sudden, oh, you know, you've got an idea, or, you know, this kind of thing. And I think it's a great way to sort of notice what you're thinking, and feeling and to deal with it. But yeah, I mean, What are some tips for people that actually are, you know, they find, first of all, how do you discover it? And secondly, what do you do?
Yeah, discovering how to relax or how to clear your mind so that you can.
I guess how to first figure out that, yeah, I'm stressed. And secondly, yeah. You know, what do I do now?
Right. Yeah, the what do I do now is a tough one. So here's what's so interesting is just like stress is such an individual thing. You know, I do flying trapeze for fun. I think it's incredibly relaxing. It's a mindfulness practice. Mm. Not everyone's going to climb that 30-foot ladder and jump off that thing and swing through the air and find that exhilarating. I'm like, yay! I mean, to me, it's the most fun. I do hip-hop dance, whereas a lot of people are like, oh my God, I can't stand that music and I'm not coordinated and that sucks and I don't like it. And to me, that's the most relaxing thing in the world. Right. So you have to discover what works for you. Mm. And I have a girlfriend who will lay in a chaise lounge.
Mm.
And that's what she does.
Right, right.
And to me, I'm thinking, oh my God, what did you do that someone put you in time out? Right. Like, why are you being punished? Why are they making you sit there without a book and a highlighter and like, you know, 30 things, magazines to go through? That's her idea of relaxing. She wants to lay there.
Yes.
To me, that is absolute torture. That is not fun. That's not relaxing. It's punishment. So you have to find what works for you. And if it's running, if it's tennis, if it's petting your pet, if it's gardening, if it's skiing, if it's laying in a chaise lounge, if it's going wine tasting with friends, just tasting, not overindulging. You know, you have to figure out what works for you. Not everyone should do yoga. Mm. And that seems to be you should do yoga.
Yes.
Why? Because your aunt does yoga, because you do, you know. It doesn't work for everybody. So just like you customize your physical activity in exercise, customize what you do to relax.
Right.
And you're going to be so much happier because then you're going to allow yourself to do it. So I think that's the first thing. And I think, you know, like I said, even with the medication and stuff, it becomes our new normal. I was doing a radio show where I went through a bunch of the warning signs of stress and it was completely dead on the other end of the phone. And I thought, oh no, the connection was lost. And, you know, all of a sudden I hear the announcer go, oh no. And I said, oh, were we cut off? And he goes, no, I'm stressed. I had no idea. he said it because it becomes that we adapt.
Yeah.
It becomes that homeostasis where sure you wake up tired every day and you get that afternoon headache and sure your jaw hurts and you've gone through 32 packs of gum and you're not having bowel movements and you can't remember your wife's name and where'd you put those damn keys? That becomes normal. We think it's aging. And in reality, it's us driving ourselves crazy from all the stress. So pay attention to what's going on in your world.
It's when something is the sort of normal, like, you know, I'm always tired, I'm always, you know, stressed, or, you know, somebody starts to eat more cleanly and all of a sudden, oh, I feel amazing. I didn't know that this was how I could feel. It's, you know, I guess we all know what we perhaps should be doing, but it's difficult at times to actually do it. I don't know if you had any thoughts on that. Like, how do you
make those changes? You know, it's hard. I think the first thing is you really have to want to do it. And, you know, I've had so many people come to me, my husband says I should do hypnosis because I'm sort. Well, do you want to do it? You know, if you're not ready to quit smoking, it's not going to happen. You know, it has to be an individual choice. And I so appreciate the effort that family members and friends and parents, you know, I've had a lot of parents call me and can I hypnotize their kid and help them? It's like, but does the kid want this? You know, or the parent says, I want to work with his tardiness. And the kid says, I want to work on my soccer game. I have to go with what that person wants, you know? So I think once you realize you want to make that change for life or death, you know, if it's, hey, you had your third heart attack, it's time. Then you have to make, you know, very few people I think can do the all or nothing thing. You know, I think we have to make small changes, and maybe it's you cut out soda, and maybe it's you stop smoking, and maybe it's you cut down to one glass of wine a night instead of five because you realize you're drinking for stress and you're not drinking because it's a really good bottle of cab. You know, I think we have to sort of, again, do an inventory and say, okay, what needs to go?
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're packing for a trip, you don't put everything in your house in the suitcase and then deal with it later. You pick and choose what you need. And I think we have to look at our health that way. So, you know, rather than saying, I'm going to run every day, you know, you're probably not. You don't like running. So maybe you walk a half an hour and then maybe you slowly increase that as opposed to you go and you try to run 5 miles and you feel like crap and your knee hurts and you're sweating and you smell funny and then you don't like it and then you don't do it again. So I think it's that easing into things, especially if it has to be a big change. Now, if your doctor says quit smoking and drinking now or you're going to die tomorrow, you better find a way to do it. if you want to, it's still up to you. But I think other than that type of order from a medical professional, you know, I think we have to be gentle with ourselves. You don't stand up a newborn and say, walk, and then yell at it when it falls down. We have to treat ourselves with that same care and that gentleness and that patience.
What is health to you? Because, you know, there are different degrees of healthy. I mean, you get people that are sort of obsessive compulsive, type A, that everything's got to be all dialed in. And more, some others are, you know, they're more relaxed about it. When you say, well, what's healthy? What does that look like?
What I can tell you health isn't is simply having no disease. Some people think of health is a lack of some sort of diagnosis. That's not what health is. Health to me is a couple things. It's optimal functioning, and that means different things to different people. And it's also balance. And, you know, when I teach nutrition, I'm not a huge fan of the whole vegan vegetarian thing. I think very few people can do that well. I think you have to really be proactive with your cooking and where you're eating, and you have to be in a town with restaurants that serve that. And, you know, so I think when people try to do this radical, like, all or nothing thing, again, I think that's hard. So I think we need that balance. And to me, it's an 80-20. You know, 80% of the time, you do the best you can. And 20% of the time, maybe you want the donut on Donut Wednesday. Or you skip your workout because you really want to watch that episode of something that's on. Or maybe you do have that piece of pizza or pie or whatever it is. I think it has to do with balance. Because if we try to do something to the point where we fail and then we punish ourselves, then that's not helping us either. We have to have that balance of body, mind, and spirit. That yin and yang of both this male energy and female energy, you know. So to me, it's optimal functioning to what that means to you, and then also a place of balance. I think we have to find that as well.
Yeah, that's really good practical advice. And yeah, I think people who, you know, this is probably going to go out end of March sometime. I imagine early April. New Year's resolutions are all probably long gone for, you know, a lot of people, right? And I think it's because for people that, you know, that you kind of fail at, it has to be perfect. So one little failure and all of a sudden everything goes out the window. And that's not a great way to approach resolutions. But anyway, I don't actually believe in New Year's resolutions myself, but, but you know,
It's a great demarcation to have people looking at their life and say, hey, I'm going to start this on such, you know, you can make change all year round. It's okay. You can make your June resolution or, you know, but it is kind of, it's annoying the first 2 weeks at the gym in January because, you know, everybody's there and then you never see them again. It's like, guys, you know, do you want to come to your house and say, you remember you said you were going to do this? You know, what I think is a neat example is, you know, we talk about saving money for the future, but we also talk about enjoying our life now. And I have clients who, you know, lived like paupers and they didn't travel and they couldn't buy that new sofa and they were using things in the house that didn't work. And then one of the, you know, the husband, typically this is what happened. The husband passed away and the wife found out they had millions socked away, quote, for the future, but they didn't have any, you know, they never went on that trip they always dreamed of. And now, so she found herself with all this money and no husband and she hated him for it. You know, where is that place of balance of live now, but save? And that's a tough place of balance. And that changes. You know, we don't know if we're going to die at 70 or 90. How much money do you put away? You know, but you can't sock it away in hopes of something in the future and not live now. So it's about finding that balance. It's that balance.
Yeah. I mean, that's also, to me, that's also part of resilience as well, right? That you don't know, you don't know what might happen. So, you know, you do want to enjoy a little bit. At the same time, you want to be resilient against anything that, you know, that comes, you know, that may come your way. So it's fascinating stuff. I'd like to just touch a bit on this whole alternative medicine cabinet that is a book and a show. So where did the inspiration for that come from? It'd be great if you could share a little bit of some excerpts from either the book or the show for my listeners to get a flavor of it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it came out of it's a couple different things. I never set out to write a book. That was not my objective. My husband's the writer. I didn't want to do it. I had done I started writing articles mainly because a business coach, or I'd read an article about this or something, said one of the great ways to promote your local business is to write an article in the local paper. Mm-hmm. And then you sign it with a Kathy Gruber Healing Circle Massage and da da da. And so I wrote this really fun article about different types of massage therapy. What is Shiatsu and what is Reiki and what's Rolfing and how does it all differ? Right. And, you know, I did this great piece because people wonder. And I got some local business out of it. And then I started writing for other publications. Then I started writing for a couple of national publications, and then I saw they were looking for an expert on da-da-da-da, and I was working on school projects at the same time. And I had mentioned to a colleague that what I really wanted to move into was doing some public speaking because that's my background, and they said, oh, well, you have a book, right? Hmm. And I said, I'm sorry, what now? I said, no, I have a massage DVD, but I know, well, if you want to speak, you have to have a book. Hmm. And so I went, oh, crap, I guess I'm writing a book. And I sat down with like 30 volumes of you know, medical books that I was going to do research on. And, you know, I finally went, doofus, you wrote a book. You know, so I realized all these articles and all these projects I did and all these things I contributed to, put them together and make it a book. Hmm. So that's why I called it the Alternative Medicine Cabinet, because it is a smattering of, you open that cabinet, what do you need to pull out at that time? So there's everything from dealing with cancer to my top 10 nutrition picks to healthy pregnancy to office health to mind-body medicine to the legacy that I want to leave behind as a health practitioner. So just a couple of my nutrition top 10s, garlic.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of garlic. It's antibiotic, antibacterial. It's so good for our heart and our immune system. And to me, I think eggs are the perfect food. You know, eggs for a while got a really bad rap with the whole cholesterol thing. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence that eating cholesterol raises cholesterol. The yolk in the egg, the cholesterol on that is actually offset and turned into something beneficial from the white of the egg. Mm-hmm. So if we eat the whole food, you know, if I see one more healthy person in Lululemon ask for an all egg white omelet, it's like, oh my God, just eat the yolk. You know, it's good for you. Just eat
it. Right.
spinach is another one. It's so high in nutrients. It's high in calcium and vitamin A. And, you know, so in the morning, scramble up a couple eggs, throw in some garlic and spinach. You got a perfect breakfast.
Yeah, and turmeric is really good. I don't know. This is really random. Just the turmeric. sort of sprung into
it. It didn't make my top 10 list, right. But it's really great for inflammation. Some people, and I can't remember, I have a couple clients who can't eat turmeric, and I can't remember if it's because they're on a certain medication or because, and I think it's because they're on a certain medication and they can't take turmeric. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So make sure if you're on medication, you always check things like that, you know, because grapefruit juice also messes with a lot of medication. So that's a no-no as well. Yeah, so it's body's so interesting. Yeah,
so these are all things that you either researched or you've kind of picked up along the way and that you've tried. Is that how you've kind of come up with some of these things in the book?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's totally it. Or research I've done for clients.
Right.
You know, I lost my mom when I was young to cancer. She was 46. I was 18. And so I've always had a soft place in my heart for cancer. Mm. And, you know, back then I couldn't ask the Google. And I was just a high school student in Pittsburgh in the 80s. So, you know, we didn't have, again, anything other than chemo, radiation, and surgery. So I think that was one of the things that sparked me looking into alternatives. So when I had my first couple clients come to me and say, you know, I just got diagnosed with cancer, or, oh, my parent is diagnosed with cancer, I started researching it like crazy, not only through the books that I used as texts through my master's and PhD, but also just, you know, I read textbooks for fun. I'm sitting in my office right now, and I'm looking at like 6 bookcases just overflowing with medical books.
Yeah.
So I put together those things as a handout for them. And thought, well, geez, there's a chapter of the book too, you know. So to me, it's like it's a primer. It's for people who really want to learn about alternative medicine. It's a great intro, and
right.
For people who know about it, it's a fabulous reminder. And I'm sure it covers something you didn't know about.
Right, right. You know, I think that putting that time to do that research is something, is a luxury that most people don't have.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, I think we come across, you know, you just have to look at your local newspaper or any website. And come up with, you know, there's an article about some food that's either good or it's bad or it's, you know, whatever. And it's really difficult to understand whether or not that's based on a study that's been properly peer reviewed and researched and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's, you know, it's a confusing world out there.
Uh-huh.
What's good and, you know, what's good for you, what's not. And so I don't know if you have any views on that, because it's hard to take anything that I read about health with, truthfully, without, I'm a natural skeptic. So it's like, is this, is really, I don't know, grape skins, is that really good for you or bad for you or whatever?
Right. And that's such a good question. And I was just teaching a couple workshops in Florida. And one of the women raised, because I just finished my nutrition section where I talk about things to add and subtract for better health. And this woman raised her hand and she said, I mean, absolutely no disrespect for asking this. She said, but how do I know what you just told us is not in 2 years going to be completely the opposite?
Hmm.
And I said, and I actually mentioned eggs and the whole cholesterol thing and, talked about that. And, margarine, we were taught, we have to have margarine and not butter. And now we realize, oh my God, margarine is killing us and we need butter again. The things that I teach and the things that I talk to clients about, I make sure these are now tried and true things. I don't tout the latest antioxidant berry that they found under a tree in the Amazon, which sure you magically lose 30 pounds overnight. And, stuff like that, if it's, and I'm probably going to upset somebody by saying this, if it's a multi-level marketing thing, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
It's like, if it's that good for me, put it on a shelf and let me buy it.
Yeah.
If it's this trendy thing and you have this great blog post and at the end they want to sell you their version of that thing, I stay away from that. There are some alternative therapies that really are BS. And I'm with you. I'm a skeptic. I have a very sensitive BS meter. And I've had some clients tell me they're doing some things where I want to roll my eyes and smack my forehead and go, idiot. But there are also people that think what I do is fringe. Reiki's hard to explain.
Yeah.
I put my hands on you and energy flows through and you get healing. What? for the science half of me, the science geek is going, oh, come on, Groover. But I've seen it work.
Yes.
People still fight against homeopathics and acupuncture and, herbs are crap. What do they do? So where is that line,
though? It's hard. I'm with you on a lot of this stuff. I've had injuries and I've had acupuncture and it worked, or it helped. Maybe not that it worked. And you also hear, there are a lot of these, traditional medicines, whether plant medicines in the, the Amazon or somewhere in Southeast Asia. And, people who live in those regions know that you eat this thing, then this gets better. And there's probably a scientific basis for some of that, but we just haven't found the mechanism through which to determine what that exactly is. So I'm open-minded to things like acupuncture. I've never tried Reiki, so I can't, I can't tell you. Mm-hmm. What I think about it. But there's for some of these things that have worked, there's probably a mechanism that, with the right amount of testing, we could find out why it works scientifically.
And if not, and to me, if it's not going to kill you and there's no side effects and it makes you feel better, I don't care how it works. I don't know how when I push that thing on the wall, the light turns on. That is so cool. I can't explain to you how that works. I don't know, but I do know it does. I can't tell you why when I push the button in my car, it turns on. I'm just really happy it does. And then when it doesn't, I'm mad. There are things that are crap. There are things that are very expensive. And unfortunately, there are unscrupulous practitioners who want to take people's money. And that's sad to me because when you're dealing, especially with a chronic illness, and you have tried everything and you're now willing to give your last $5,000 to this guy with this thing that claims it works and it's a sham, that pisses me off beyond belief because that's not ethical and that's not cool. And I don't care if you're Western medicine or alternative medicine or religious or government, or don't do that to people.
Go ahead.
We do have to have the freedom to try those things because if you say, oh, that's bunk, we're going to make it illegal. Yeah, but then you might take my homeopathics or you might take my, it's a slippery slope. I had a client once say there are good quacks and there are bad quacks and there are people that fall between the quacks, which I thought was brilliant. And I don't know if he made that up or if he got it from somewhere. And I think I'm that fall between the quacks people.
Right.
It's like I do things that are very practical and I'm a triple Capricorn and I'm very down to earth and I'm very type A and I'm very science based, but then I do Reiki, and I'm willing to explore anything as long as it's not harming people. So that's kind of, I got passionate about that one. Sorry.
That's great. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah. I like, this term woo-woo, code for BS or, whatever.
Yeah.
This is the problem, however, it's very difficult to distinguish especially for people that are looking for some type of solution to a chronic problem. Do you have any ideas or some tips for people, if you want to try something, how do you distinguish between, woo-woo and something that might have some value?
Yeah, it's a moving target, and it's, again, that perception. Because to me, Reiki seems perfectly normal. I've been doing it since I was 22. And I say that to someone else, and they're like, oh my God, she's an insane person, and she believes in hypnosis, and that's woo-woo, and that's off the, I think if you're going to research, first of all, the internet, I'm so glad we have it, and I'm so mad we have it. Because you can find anything to support anything online. So if you're going to try to look up... try to go to like actual websites, not Paranoid Joe's blog, not Quack Watch, not ISellYouExpensiveStuff.com, and where of course they're going to support what they're selling. If you can find a third party, quote, unbiased site, and I'm actually really a fan of WebMD because they're not into alternative medicine, but they kind of present both sides of things. So get opinions. Read message boards, that gets slippery too, because anybody can post anything. You've just got to get opinions, and it's the whole, if it sounds too good to be true, it is. If it's really extraordinarily ridiculously expensive and it's guaranteed to work, it's BS. I hate to say that. You've got to just listen to your gut, and sometimes that gets clouded when you're desperate for an answer. I totally get it. Sometimes, unfortunately, there just isn't an answer, and it becomes either palliative care or how can I treat the symptoms and how can I make the smallest choices that I can to make it better, even if it doesn't go away. And sometimes through that we find not necessarily the cure, but at least we get healing, and sometimes that's why we have it.
What I guess for some of the folks listening who don't have any chronic diseases or aren't looking for a solution to an endemic problem, what are some of the things that you would just recommend for just general very good health and optimal kind of performance? What are some of the core elements of that for you?
Absolutely. I think we should all be taking a multivitamin. Our soils are depleted, and I don't care how well you think you eat, you're not getting enough. So taking a really good, high-quality multivitamin, if you can get it from whole food organic sources, that's the best. Synthetic vitamins either don't work as well, or they're even maybe detrimental. The jury's kind of still out on that. But high-quality vitamin, make sure you're getting enough minerals. Most multivitamins do not contain minerals, or if they do, they're in teeny-weeny-weeny little quantities. We talk so much about calcium. I'm a huge fan of magnesium. I'm nerdy enough to have a favorite mineral, and it's magnesium. Good stuff. We have to get micronutrients, and I'm a big fan of probiotics. I don't know anybody that's never been on an antibiotic, and as soon as we take an antibiotic, it throws everything in our system off. So a good probiotic's great. It's really simple, and the basis of naturopathy is drink good water, breathe good air, move your body, move your bowels, eat good food. That's pretty much it. It's not that complicated. I mean, it's really not that hard.
Yes.
And if we do those things to the greatest extent that we can, our bodies help, the bodies heal themselves. That's what we're made to do.
Sure.
Put it in the right environment and it's going to heal. There's exceptions to that, of course. It's not, unfortunately, in this day and age, it's not that simple, but it's kind of that simple. That's the basis of it. And then that way, if you need other things, then you can put it on top. But if we're just breathing and eating and drinking water and moving our bodies and having healthy bowel movements, we're good. We're golden.
Cool. Okay, that's great. I know we've covered a lot of ground, and one of the things, and we talk a lot about in the show. And it's risk taking, and and I know we've talked a lot about health, but I think all of this is foundational stuff for a very good ability to take risk and to do all the wonderful things that we want to do. So what is your own view on taking risks and managing uncertainty?
I love it. My catchphrase is go for it. I have license plates that say go for it. I have a keynote called go for it. I fly on the damn trapeze. So I'm a huge risk taker, you know, a calculated risk taker. Mm-hmm. I love playing with stocks, but I don't go crazy with them. And if I can't afford to lose it, I don't play. Yeah. You know, so I take calculated risks. I'm not going to take my life savings and put it on black and hope that it spins and gets that. You know, I'm not that kind of risk taker. I'm a little too grounded in the whole Capricorn thing for that. But, you know, to me, you have to get outside your comfort zone, because you asked what health was. I said it was a place of balance. To me, that's also what life is. Mm. It's that living it fully. Life isn't just going day by day through the drudgery of this mundane thing that you call, you know, your job. It's stepping outside of your comfort zone. Yeah. When I travel, I talk to the locals and I try the local food. You know, I just came back from South Africa where I tried warthog carpaccio.
Oh, great.
It was so good. You know, I had stuffed pigeon when I was in Jordan, and I had, you know, it's like, I want to try that stuff, because you know what? When am I ever going to get that again?
Yeah.
And if I don't like it, I don't have to eat it.
Sure.
But I want to try it. You know, I didn't ever have to do trapeze a second time. I could have done it once and gone, nah, it's not my thing. I loved it. You know, It's about living fully and having those experiences to allow us to grow and evolve as a human being.
Yeah, it's so cool that you say that, because I and so many of my guests who've fabulous risk takers and done some incredible things, they all this theme just keeps coming through over and over again of take little experiments, you know, and if it's not going to kill you, then you know you're not losing too much. You might have gagged on the warthog carpaccio, but you know, that's about it, right? So you know, why not? This has been great. Thank you for coming on the show. I know we're almost getting towards the end of our time, but just before we go, are there I guess any other final thoughts, and where can my listeners find more about you?
Yeah, I guess my final thought is just, you know, live fully, you know, make the best choices you can, and know that you always have choices. It might not seem like it, but there's always a different option. If nothing else, you can change the way you're thinking about something. That's that's the key to stress reduction. That's the key to health, is changing your perception, changing how you're thinking about it. And, you know, do that and everything's going to be great, and go for it, because I have to say that now because that's my tagline. And yeah, the best way to reach me is it's kathygroover.com, and you can find out about my workshops and lectures. That's really my speaking site. And then I have another site called thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. Mm. And my books are on both of those, and you can sign up for newsletters and things. And it was really my pleasure to be on. This was a great conversation.
No, pleasure. And, you know, all the best. And yeah, I'd love to have you back at some point in the future. So thank you so much. This was great.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye for now. I hope you guys enjoyed that and found it useful. As always, check out the show notes. There are loads of great links in there and ways in which you can connect with Kathy and find out more about her work. Now, I mentioned at the outset of this episode that I wanted to address something in the outro, and it's quite possible that this is just for me, but every episode I ask you for feedback, and you can send that to allthingsrisk@gmail.com, and I ask for ratings and reviews on iTunes if you like the show. If you've done this, thank you so much. It really helps the show. I value all feedback. Most of the feedback I've received has been quite positive. And by the way, I welcome any feedback that isn't positive, because it helps me make the show better. But something started to happen recently, and I've started to attract what you might call a few haters. Now, this is a very, very small minority, and I also take this as a positive sign, because it means that people are listening to the show, and I guess this type of thing is unavoidable as a podcast grows. This is a show of risk and uncertainty. Well, I think that is a certainty, something that will happen over the course of doing something like this. Now, look, of course, anyone has the right to put whatever they want on a review, and there's not much I can do about that. Or you can send whatever you think to me, and again, those are your views or those are people's views. But one thing that I would really value is that people get their facts straight when they're doing this. And I just wanted to make three points about this. So the first one is that this is not a show about politics, particularly American politics. If you are a longtime listener, you will know and understand that I'm not even an American. I'm a Canadian based in London. Now, over the course of the types of the conversations that I've had and that we have here, there will be some politics expressed, some political views expressed. These are real conversations, and it's difficult to get away from that. And I don't expect my listeners to agree with everything I say or my guests say. And I don't agree with everything my guests say. But what's the point of that? Why would we do that? Why would we just have a show where everybody agrees with everything? Not very interesting. The second point is that this show has no ideological agenda whatsoever. I'm not the member of some type of liberal elite Illuminati conspiracy, as some of my detractors might suggest. This is a show that is about helping us understand and better manage risk and uncertainty. And I want to talk to interesting people, and I'm a guy with a podcast. That's it. I don't make any money off of this show. The episodes will always be free. And there really isn't much more to it than that. The third point that I wanted to make is that I'm going to keep doing this. The world is increasingly divided, and we need to talk more. We need to understand each other more. We need to learn about other perspectives. And that's also what I'm trying to do. That's what All Things Risk is about as well, and I will be continuing to do it. I don't like one-star reviews, of course. Nobody does, and you know, there's not much I can do about that. About it, but at least I wish that people who put them on do get their facts straight about what we do and don't do around here. So that's it. Wanted to get that off my chest. Thanks for listening. Sorry if it came across as a bit negative. But I think I just needed to get it off my plate, off my chest, whatever. We will be back next week with another great episode. And this episode, I think if you caught, I wanted to get it out at the end of March. So I haven't done that. It's now almost middle of May. It basically means I've got quite a big queue of some really great conversations coming up. So if you like what you've heard, please subscribe if you haven't yet done so. Allthingsrisk.co.uk is the best place to do that. But we'll be back next week with another great episode. In the interim, don't forget, risk is life.